Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. If there is a pet book out there, typically I get the book. And I've gotten books before, many books before, about how to raise a puppy. There's some books that have been done dealing with your senior dog. This book is both. It's called Old Dog, New Dog, Supporting Your Aging Best Friend and Welcoming a New One. Kathy Callahan, Helen St. Pierre are the co-authors. Kathy is here now, and then we'll talk to Helen. So, Kathy, you're the puppy half of this.
Yes, I'm the puppy half of this, and as you say, there are many puppy books on the market. There are also many old dog books, but the truth is a lot of people struggle with doing those two things at the same time. Your old dog is aging. You're noticing it. It's very natural to start thinking, wait, maybe it's time for a puppy. But that is a complex decision. And so when Helen and I met, she specializes in oldies. I specialize in puppies. We decided we wanted to create the resource we wish we could have handed to all the people who come up to us and say, hey, should I get the puppy or not? How do I decide?
All right. So we'll talk about, and you wrote about welcoming a new puppy, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But you brought it up, and it's in the book, and I want to talk about it. So we'll talk about it from a little later. All right. Do you bring a puppy in, and what's the perspective of that older dog? But right now, what does the younger dog have to learn from a puppy? I suggest it could be good. I suggest it could be not so good. Bad habits and good habits. What do you think?
Right. So a lot of people think, I'll get the puppy now because my wonderful old dog cannot kind of teach the puppy all the new stuff. And that can be true, but it also can be true that you are relying on an aging dog to do the work that you're the one who wanted the second dog. Your older dog didn't choose that. So it's really what you want to do is set your older dog up to teach willingly. So it's only going to work. The only good professors are the ones who are doing it when they want to. And so what you want is set your older dog up to choose to be with a puppy. And if they're making the choice to come in there and interact with a puppy, then you're going to get some terrific lessons from that older dog. But if you just toss them together and say, well, they'll work it out, chances are your puppy's going to learn some not-so-great lessons from the older dog.
So I want to talk about the great lessons and not-so-great lessons as well. So
sure.
We'll
sure.
talk about some examples. House training is the big thing with new puppies, right? So
yes.
Does the – just by doing – the business, if you take that older dog out on a leash, which I think is key, so the younger dog is out on a leash too, and they both can see what the other dog is doing. But if that does, is there observational learning that goes on? Does it actually click in the puppy's brain? Oh, that dog is doing it, so I ought to as well.
You picked such a good example. Potty training is the thing that an older dog will absolutely help you with so much. And it's not so much, yes, there is social learning by watching, but in terms of potty training, it's going to be scent that is so important. And so what's going to be happening is your new puppy is going to smell all the pee and poop in the good spots, not in the bad spots. So those scents are going to be very powerful outside. And inside, assuming that your older dog is perfect and is no longer having any accidents or anything inside, your puppy won't smell that stuff inside. And that's going to be a powerful incentive for your puppy to really, there is something just physiological that happens when puppies smell urine or poop. Their body's going to want to go. And so if there's a lot of that smell outside, your puppy's automatically going to start going outside when you have the useful guidance of your older dog's elimination outside. So yeah, that absolutely does help.
Should you begin rewarding for two reasons your older dog for going outside, even though your older dog has been doing that for years? Because number one, if you only reward the puppy, the older dog will say, why not me? Literally. But also because it's again a model for the puppy.
Sure. I mean, here's the thing. Why not? Sure. Why not reward the older one, too? My sister talks about how her old dog, when they got a puppy, was like, what? Now we got get treats for tinkling outside? Awesome.
Exactly.
So, I mean, why not? You know, not everyone rewards with treats for potty training outside. I think it's a great idea. But, of course, you also can just be like, good job. Good job. One of the things that is important with a puppy, though, is make sure that you don't jump in to give that reward too enthusiastically in the middle of that little tinkle stream, because often that can make them stop short and come running up to you. And then when you go back in the kitchen, they finish up in there. So you want to make sure to slow it down a little bit, make sure they finish, then have your nice little celebration.
Yeah, I was telling someone the same thing. Literally, I was right there. And this person said, good dog! Oh, yeah. And the neighbors, I believe, heard. The dog got scared. And now we had to deal with a dog that was afraid to go potty outside. So, yeah, over-enthusiasm can be actually a problem in theory. Now, what about the dog with bad habits? So let's say that older dog goes ruff, 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 every time the UPS or postal person goes by. So now the puppy is going to pick up on those too, right?
Yes. Yes. And so that is difficult. I mean, not always, but most of the time that puppy is going to mimic a lot of what the older dog does. And so you kind of want to be a little careful. For example, if your older dog is pretty reactive on lead when you're going on walks and just barks at every other dog he sees, you don't want to walk your little dog with the old dog. You're going to have to do those walks separately, or your puppy really is going to pick up those habits, because we want the puppy to feel neutral and calm about all the stuff he sees when he goes out there in the world on that leash. So at least in the very beginning, when he's deciding how he feels about the world, you do not want to do that particular activity together. Yeah.
And is it sometimes good to separate them so they don't become too bonded? I'll talk later about what you do if the older dog, as I talk to the old dog person, I'm sure she loves being called that. As I talk with Helen later, we'll talk about that. But what about from the puppy perspective?
Yes, that's huge. And that I'm so glad you asked that, because that's one of the most important things you want to teach a puppy is to be okay on his own. And that the intensity of the bond that often happens between two dogs at home, the puppy really will basically feel like they can't breathe without that little friend right next to them all the time. And so you do want right in the beginning to be building that puppy's confidence when he's on his own. And that just means you set up situations, like make sure to work into your day that they are not together 24/7. Frankly, your older dog is going to appreciate that too, because most older dogs do not want that puppy energy 24/7. It's different than having an adult dog companion. They are jumpy, they're bitey, they're wrestly, and some older dogs roll with that and enjoy it, but most of them don't have endless patience for that, and we shouldn't ask that of them. And so you got to set up your household and set up your routine, set up your day, so that, in fact, they don't have to be together all the time, and that is good for your little puppy as well. You want to build in some time. Maybe they're behind a gate in the mudroom with something to chew. Maybe you're walking the puppy by yourself while somebody else is home with the older dog, or the older dog's just having a nice nap at home. You want to build into your day some definite times where that puppy learns it's fine when I don't have companionship. That's important for companionship with humans, too. You know, during the pandemic, all the pandemic puppies had people with them 24/7. And that was difficult, because once things were lifted and people could go out in the world, those dogs were not ready to be left alone without companionship. And that's a big lesson we all learned, that you need to help them learn to be alone by giving them little reasons. And that means, you know, you can leave them in the kitchen with a little gate and you go upstairs and change the laundry and come back down in 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be, you know, you're not leaving them home for a super long time, but you want to build those muscles of, I'm okay when I'm alone. And you help them do that by giving them, by looking at the timing, you know, make sure they were just doing something fun. Now they're kind of tired. Give them something to do, like a chew. Step out of the room. Make a habit of it.
All right. Now, When we come back, we'll talk about what you do when you get a puppy, how to start old dog, new dog. That's the name of the book on WGN. Dog trainer Kathy Callahan is here. We're talking about puppies. The book is called Old Dog, New Dog. You're the new dog part. And you begin a chapter by saying, taking a cue from the appliance manufacturers, here's our version of a quick start guide to a puppy. So you're about to get a puppy. What do you do? What do you need? Tell us.
So the best way to turn your puppyhood into a great experience is to anticipate what it's going to be like. So the surprise puppy, you're out on Saturday morning, you decided just to grab a puppy. Sure, it'll be fun. That is probably going to come along with some nights where you're wondering what the heck you've done, because puppyhood is intense. So if the more prepared you are, the better. And that just means think about setting up your household, think about setting up your routines. Those two things are going to help you go pretty far. So in terms of household, you don't want to give them, if your puppy has the run of the entire house, that's a disaster for your rugs, for your furniture, for your sanity. And so you want to set up what I think of as kind of a puppy apartment. And that doesn't mean a little pen where you think you're going to put the puppy and leave the puppy there and compartmentalize your whole life. Not going to work like that. What works really, really well is if you take a part of your house that you live in well. Maybe it's the kitchen. Maybe it's the kitchen family room. Someplace that has access to the outside. You make your house, you kind of live small for a little while. You and the puppy are going to spend a heck of a lot of time in there. And your puppy, that's going to make house training easier. You're going to be able to puppy-proof a smaller area like that. And in this book, we're talking about old dog, new dog. We're talking about people who have a senior dog at the same time. We want to protect that dog from from puppy antics and make it so that that older dog can choose when to be with a puppy instead of being stuck with a puppy. And if you create this puppy apartment that I'm talking about where it's a smaller area, it's going to make everything more manageable. That's kind of your number one thing that you want to do.
How important is dog training, going to a puppy class?
So actually going to a class, if it's a great class, can be a game changer for you. If you don't know much about puppy training and you haven't really done this before, it can hook you up with the right mindset and the right resources and frankly, some puppy friends as well.
Now,
but there's a lot of variation.
Right. So I was going to ask you about that. So there's been your dog trainer. I'm sure you know within the dog training world right now, there's a big, big hoopla going on because one certification group is saying that you can use any sort of equipment, which includes shock collars, the chain link choke collars, prong collars. Those are the pointy collars that you see on cartoon dogs. I know how you feel about those. You're not a fan, but that's an understatement, I believe. But moreover, and I want to know why, but especially with puppies, there are actually some trainers that say, we're going to start off using a shock collar because we're going to teach the puppy from day one or whatever they say to justify this. How important is it that that class be vetted by you and is truly a positive reinforcement and a positive training experience for the dog as well as the person with the dog?
Yep. I feel incredibly strongly about that. So, the world is big. Lots of people have different approaches. Here's my approach, and it is backed by science. Positive reinforcement training is the most effective way you can go about this. We know this now. It also feels a lot better. Here's the thing. Even if there weren't any science behind it, why would I want to get a dog and then punish him into doing the right thing rather than just teaching him? This is, you know, my other book called Welcome to Bring Your Puppy from Planet Dog talks about how it's as if we have kidnapped a baby from another planet. So they don't know what they're doing here. We're asking them to do all these things that are not natural for them. Why would we then also be using aversive methods to train them into what we want them to be? That's not what I want out of my dog relationship. I do, of course, want a dog who's easy to live with. And that we call that good behavior, but what that really means, that comes about by me meeting that dog's needs and me being curious about, wait, who's this little guy? What does he need? Oh, right. Of course he needs to run and play and a chance to dig over here where it's a good spot to dig in my yard. And of course he needs to chew something. If I meet those needs, it becomes very easy to train our human ways. I think of it like, you know, recess for a fifth grade boy who, you know, let them run around and do their thing. It's a lot easier that afternoon to have them sitting there in math class filling out their worksheet because their needs have been met. And that's really my approach to dog training is like that. So if you go to a class or check out a class, that's my favorite way that, you know, if you can kind of watch one, observe one, get a sense, and it gives you the willies, you're like, wait, those puppies don't look happy. Puppies should look happy at a training class. Everyone should be having a great time. The next time you go, your puppy should be eager to go. If that's not happening, something's wrong. Training should be their favorite thing because it's one-on-one time with you. You guys are engaged together. It should feel terrific. If it's not feeling terrific, it should prompt you to wonder what the heck you're doing here and to look for somebody, look for a different style. And you don't have to do in-person training in a class. There's so much stuff online. There are great books. There's a lot of stuff you can do if you cannot find exactly the right class for you. It is fun when you find a good class, though. So, it's worth trying. It's worth looking for.
And it's more than fun. It as you said, these are they're babies. So it teaches, I think, it opens, this is how I say it, it opens the window of communication from one end of the leash to the other. Those training classes do. So very quickly, because we're running out of time, the most commonly asked question I get is about the teeth. And you have a little subhead, be prepared for those teeth. So for the puppy that's nipping and nipping and nipping in 1 minute or less, what do you do?
Okay, big thing, best, fastest, most effective thing is to meet those needs with another restly, bitey puppy who also wants to use their teeth like that. You do that for half an hour in the morning, and you're going to find that puppy is way better all day. Other than that, you can hit it with a bunch of different approaches. Of course, you can try substituting a toy. We've all experienced the fact that those teeth then move up your arm past the toy, but you can start with that.
All right, I'm going to stop you. I'm stopping you now because I'm out of time. But this forces people to buy the book, Old Dog, New Dog, where there's more about all of this stuff. Kathy Callahan will be talking to your co-author, Helen St. Pierre, in just a moment. She'll talk about the old dog part of this. Thank you very, very much. So I remember many years ago, I was, 15 years old, 17 years old, something like that. And I was chatting with a dog. And then people made fun of me that were in the room. What are you talking to a dog for, you know? And today, we all do that, right? Or talk to our cats or our other pets. And they may not understand, I'm talking about dogs and cats at the moment, or pet birds for that matter, pet parrots. They're brilliant, and they probably understand far more than dogs and cats do. But while they don't understand everything we're saying, the words, they understand the intent. They understand our emotions. What about plants? Should you talk to your plants? Well, it's probably potentially a cathartic thing for you to do if you're complaining, but can it be beneficial to the plants? You can read about it on my website, stevedale.tv. Well, we spoke about puppies. Now we go to the other end of the spectrum. The name of the book is Old Dog, New Dog. Now we'll talk about the older dogs. And Helen St. Pierre, dog trainer, is here to talk about that. And I suppose, Helen, the question that I get all the time that you must get even more often is, do I get a puppy now? My dog is 12, my dog is 14, my dog is 16. Do I bring a puppy into the house? It's a complicated question and a big one. You address it in the book, but I'm asking you to address it right now, too.
Well, it's a great question, and as I'm sure you know, for most dog trainers, the answer to any question that we get is, it depends. There are so many variables that go into this, but in my experience in helping people through loss of their senior dog as a companion animal end-of-life doula, and I'm also a certified euthanasia professional. I find that grief is a little bit easier if there is an overlap for most people.
Explain what you explain. I've always said that as well, but explain what you mean by that.
So the overlap is it's really difficult if you're a single dog household and you're going to lose your senior dog and the time comes to say goodbye. That walking into the empty house for the first time can be really, really crushing. And I think it also makes it even harder for pet guardians afterwards when they go select a puppy or they get their next dog. Without an overlap, there's a lot more, in my experience, of something that I call MLDS, which is my last dog syndrome, where if there isn't an overlap and they get their puppy after the senior has passed, they tend to project a lot more or have more difficulty with some of the puppy antics. So I do think that getting a puppy with a senior dog can be very, very therapeutic for the guardian. Whether or not it's helpful for the senior dog is so dependent on a lot of variables, and that's what we really try to address in the book, that if you're doing this, do it for you. Don't necessarily do it for your senior dog, and here are the ways that we can make it work across all of the variables that can occur.
Now, I would argue that sometimes it is helpful for the senior dog, that some dogs that love any other dog love the company of anything. I mean, you get a pet gerbil, they would love it, you know? I mean, for those dogs, and that's a lot of dogs, actually, I would say great idea. For the dogs that don't like other dogs, end of story. You know, and you write about that in the book, too. Sometimes people don't, oddly enough, don't think about, but my dog never did like, doesn't like. Yeah, got along with that dog, that one dog, but doesn't like any other dog. It's possible that you can make it work, but that's a lot of work. For the dog who's definitely a geriatric dog and going through something like cancer treatment or something of that nature, maybe not the best idea. It could be very stressful for that dog. Are there a significant subset of dogs where it's what we've always heard is true? It kind of is revitalizing to those dogs?
Well, yes and no. I mean, what's really important is to understand disease trajectories. If we're dealing with simply just old age, if we're dealing with some form of a metabolic disease, or if we're dealing with something like cancer, and those disease trajectories will definitely influence the stamina and tolerance potentially of that senior dog if a puppy comes in. You know, I have a hospice sanctuary with, you know, 15 senior dogs, and we make it a point with our senior dogs. I have two of my younger dogs, now they're not puppies, but they're younger and they're very playful, and they can really liven up the place a little bit. Otherwise, it can feel, you know, there's the camaraderie and the social aspect. But what's really interesting, too, is that we do see that certain senior dogs that may have not wanted the company of other dogs when they were younger really enjoy the company of another dog as they're getting older. So tolerances can shift in both directions. And it's just important to be able to see what signals your dog gives during that process and go with it. But absolutely, a younger dog can really revitalize a senior dog and make them feel a little bit more spry, a little bit more like playing, but they may not have the stamina to play for as long. So it's just stepping in and knowing how to manage that.
But that's helpful, I would imagine, for that senior dog to play a bit more. Even if that senior dog is a bit arthritic, movement is actually a good thing. And some senior dogs with nothing much else to do tend to just sleep.
Yes, and what's really important is if it does bring out that joy for that senior dog, that's a huge improvement in their quality of life. So you're completely right that, you know, movement and having that joy of play again can be huge for them. But the difference on the opposite side is if that suddenly there's stress of them feeling they have to share their resources or they're being bumped by the new puppy that's running by them too fast. And so it's again, walking this really fine line that we try to help you through in the book of knowing what's good, knowing what's not so good, and knowing what's kind of in the middle.
All right. So glad you mentioned resources. I think that's a good place to start. And that is where you started. You bring the puppy into the home. How important is it to maintain the resources that that existing dog always had?
That's a great question. And again, the answer is it really can depend. There are certain senior dogs that are just like, hey, let me show you where this is. And this is where we do this. And they're more than happy to, you know, give a tour and share those spaces. But it's really about knowing your individual oldie. And also, again, knowing where they are at in their old age. If we're dealing with a dog that, you know, usually was very open to sharing, but now has lost sight, maybe has some arthritis, maybe is losing their hearing, we might need to create a space, we call that the senior space, where we know that oldie doesn't have to share everything, and we can create neutral spaces that are going to feel like there's a lot less environmental pressures on the old dog.
But that's true for any older dog, according to you and your book, Old Dog, New Dog, because you say that one of the most important things that you that are required for that older dog is a place to get away if the dog wants to do so.
Absolutely. And that way, if they feel that they have, you know, their space for their resources and they don't have to worry about guarding them, it can really help them feel more tolerant of the riffraff of a puppy in those neutral spaces.
The riffraff of a puppy. Old Dog, New Dog is the name of the book, supporting your aging best friend and welcoming a new one. Helen St. Pierre is here. And when we come back, I want to talk about just older dogs in general. Things that you can do to make life better for an aging dog. And you have lots of ideas that you write about in the book, and we'll talk about some of those when we come back on WGN. She is a dog trainer. She is the co-author of Old Dog, New Dog, supporting your aging best friend and welcoming a new one. But you also write a great deal about just aging dogs in general. And a lot of people do have aging dogs in general. And in fact, let me do the math here. So now we're in 2025. It was 2019, right, that we had the pandemic begin. And so many people happily adopted dogs. But those dogs might have been 4 or 5 years old at the time or older. So now they are aging dogs. We have a lot of those dogs. And dogs are living longer than ever before overall as well. So with all of that in mind, you write about lots of things, including things that we can do at home, including changes that you can make in the environment to make life better day to day for that aging dog.
Yes, I am, as I've mentioned, I have a senior and hospice animal sanctuary, and I've been working now with senior dogs exclusively out of my home for over 7 years. And, you know, senior dogs, the reason Kathy and I wrote this book is that senior dogs and puppies can be very similar. It's just you're in different stages of life. And, you know, senior dogs, we often sort of forget that they might need a little bit of extra help because, one, we don't like to see our best friends getting older. And two, you know, we get so used to the years of them being more able to do things that it can catch up with us a little bit quick. And, you know, for me, what's really helpful in what I'm hoping by educating more people about older dogs and senior dog care is I will get less people wanting to surrender their senior dogs to me because they will be prepared and know how to handle things like incontinence and getting big washable pads, creating a senior space, and even certain things like reducing anxiety for our senior dogs by no longer trying to encourage them to do things that they used to be able to do with ease but now are having difficulty. So an example is when your senior dog tries to jump up on the couch and they weren't able to do that anymore or they're struggling, we'll see people go, come on, you can do it, come on. And the dog will try and potentially either injure themselves or feel a great deal of anxiety that they're no longer able to. And we can cut that off by just saying, you know what, you're getting older. Here's a set of steps for you, or I'll sit on the floor for you, and I'm going to put mats down so you don't have to slip and slide. It's all about being proactive for our senior friends, and that makes a big difference for us and for them.
I agree with everything you said, but having said that, I also think that keeping that older dog going is very, very important. As they say, what do they say? Motion is lotion, right? And I believe there is truth to that. And also, if the dog is moving outdoors, that means the dog is outdoors, and the dog is sniffing at the world, which in of itself can bring, if you happen to be a dog, great joy to you.
Yes, and being able to move and continue moving is really, really important. It's just that you walk a line of not injuring themselves or feeling anxious that they're not able to do certain things at the way that they used to anymore. And that is, you know, something that we see even with our human parents or friends that are going through their aging process, where it's like, we can still go for a walk, but we don't maybe go as far as we used to or at the top of the heat of the day. So it's still being able to not have them feel impertinent, but also being safe and aware of where their needs might have changed.
Well, here's a little fact for you that you might not even know. In South Korea, the buggies for dogs have now outsold the buggies for babies. And it's getting to that in America. Now, not all of those pet strollers are for aging dogs, but a lot of them are. Are there other ways that in which these dogs, for example, you could take that aging dog to a pet store? You drive there, right? So it's not a long walk. The walk is from the parking lot into the store, but once in the store, they're smelling everything they love to smell. Things like that.
Oh, yeah, I love doing stuff like that. And for dogs that might be, you know, they never were big social butterflies, they don't want to do that stuff, but they can't go on their long walks. Something my husband and I will do when we walk our younger dogs, we will bring a backpack or a wagon with us. We will find cool things on our walks, like sticks or piles of leaves. So we have a farm, so we'll get stuff from our farm. And we'll bring that back to the hospice space yard and put all that down so that the older dogs, the dogs that have really poorer functions, they can't walk as far, they can sort of toddle around and get all that smell and enrichment without having to exert themselves. But even for the larger dogs, you don't have to get the pet strollers. Some of these fantastic foldable wagons are great to put your dog in and still let them go for walks, and you can stop on the side, take something off the sidewalk, let them smell it, say, okay, great, let's keep walking with that wagon for these larger dogs. And I think anything that continues that enrichment and meets their needs is fantastic.
How about snuffle mats? How about meeting that enrichment indoors as well?
I think that's great for both, you know, for all ages of dogs. You know, I think snuffle mats can be fantastic for, you know, for in our experience, when I've had dogs that have had lupus or they've had sores or they've got specific skin conditions where they can't go outside, snuffle mats can be wonderful. But I also think that there is still nothing better than the real outside, the grass, you know, as much as we can give them of that, the better.
Oh, absolutely. And we should probably explain what snuffle mats are, too, because not everyone may know, and they're great. Can you explain what they are?
Yes, they're kind of like a large towel-like fiber. Some of them are, well, there's all different varieties now, but they are like folded pieces of fabric that mimic grass or little flaps that the dogs can smell. So you can sprinkle kibble in them, or you can sprinkle treats. I love some of the meal toppers dust that I can put in for the dogs, and it really emulates basically the experience they get when they're sniffing through grass or leaves or anything that sort of moves as they smell, and a lot of dogs absolutely love it.
And there are food puzzles you could buy as well. Now, the thing, though, is for senior dogs that you want to make it so it's not too challenging, because I suspect that can be frustrating. They aren't always able to do what they once could do or might not even smell that there's something in there.
Yes, agreed. And you can make it as easy for them. You know, if there are certain dogs that will look at you when you make it too easy, like, really? You think that I can't solve this? And then there are certain dogs that you can see they're so relieved. So but what's beautiful now, I mean, even compared to, as I'm sure you know, is compared to even 10, 15 years ago, the options are endless. And there's so many ways to even have custom things made for your dogs so that you can really go with them through the stages of aging to see what they need and what they prefer.
All right. So much more to ask you or for you to read in a book called Old Dog, New Dog, Supporting Your Aging Best Friend and Welcoming a New One. Kathy Callahan, co-author. We spoke to her earlier, and this is Helen St. Pierre. Thank you, Helen. Good to meet you. Do you happen to be a runner? Well, if you are, do you take your dog with you? Well, maybe if you have a bulldog or a French bulldog or a pug. I hope not. Those dogs, well, sure, if you run a quarter of a block. But other than that, no. If you have an overweight or obese or a senior dog, no. If you have a puppy or any dog that is still growing, okay. But only, again, for a very short distance. But for dogs, the truth is that I don't know. What do you think? Are human beings meant to run 26.2 miles, a marathon? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know about dogs. Very few are. However, two breeds, I'll tell you which two, can be trained to do that. Dalmatians and Weimaraners. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early on WGN.